Good evening. It's a blessing to have my family here today. Man, Jimmy's making me work overtime. This is the most I've been up here for a long time in a row, but it has been a blessing. I love to preach. I love to preach the Word of God. It's amazing, but I want to remind you that God is awesome. There is no one like God. I continue to remind you of this because I never want you guys to forget that God is amazing. There is no one like Him. There is no one better to serve than God Himself. Will you follow, church? Will you follow? We sang that song this evening. Will you go where God goes? Will you stay where He stays? Will you go? Will you go wherever He calls you to, church? There is no one like God. I love to open up with a psalm here. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, though. Romans chapter 12. But Psalms 100 says this: Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He has made us, and we are His, and we are His people, His sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen, church. Amen. The Lord is God, and we are His. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are His. You belong to Him. You are a child of God. Praise His name, church. Praise His name for how awesome that He is, how much that He cares for us, how much that He loves us. And I praise Him every day that He has planted me in this church to serve Him wholeheartedly. With all the gifts that He's given to each and every one of you, you're called to use them with the best to the best of your abilities. Are you devoted to serving the Lord? Are you devoted to serving Him? Are you willing to do your part in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to do your part? See, there are many Christians today just playing church rather than being the church. They're just playing games with God, but God's given them many gifts, many talents, many abilities, but we continue just to play church rather than be the church. So I want to ask you this question. I've said it already, but I want to ask you it again. Are you doing your part in the body of Christ? Are you doing your part? Are you doing whatever God has called you to? I want to give you a little bit of context to Romans 12. See, up to Romans 1 to 11, he's talking about the theology of the gospel, how we're saved. He's talking about all those different things, but he kind of switches here. He kind of goes a little bit more practical. How we're supposed to be Christians. How we're supposed to behave. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Listen to me, church. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Be living sacrifices. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Well, why would you do that? He says, in view of God's mercy. Why? Because the gratitude you have for salvation. Why should you give all of yourself to God? Because He gave all of Himself to you. He's died upon the cross. He's bought you. You are no longer yourselves. You belong to Jesus Christ if you put your trust in Him. There's no better place to be than the hands of Jesus Christ. There's no better place to be in the will of God. There's no better place, listen to me, church, than being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no better place to be than in the hands of God. Give yourself to God. And listen to me, sometimes that comes with a cost. Not even comparable to the cost that Jesus has paid. But sometimes we have to give up our dreams and our wants to follow God. There's many of you who have testified saying, I wanted to do this in my life, but God made me do something completely else. Can I tell you, it's always good. It is always good when you do the will of God. Sometimes you have to give up your dreams. Sometimes you have to give up your wants for God's will and God's wants in your life. He knows better than we do. His ways are much higher than my ways. His thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. He has my best interest at heart. This is what God does. He cares deeply for me. He will never lead me down the path of destruction. Put your trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Give yourself to God. If you want to be pleasing to God, if you want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant, give yourself to God. Be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Verse 2, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Can I remind you of this, church? God has a purpose for your life. He has a will for your life, and it is good. But many of us tend to not to want to let go of the world. We want to hold on to the world with everything we have, and God's continuing to pull us closer and closer to Him. He's trying to pull you closer, but we cling to the world so hard. We hold on so hard, we continue to pull away from God. But God continues to try to draw us closer and closer to Him. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how can you be transformed? By the only one who can make you a new creation. The only one who can birth you again in salvation. Jesus Christ. You want to be transformed? You want to be new? You want to start over? His name is Jesus Christ, church. His name is Jesus Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Not bad. Not bad will. His good, perfect, pleasing will for your life. He has one for you, church. He has one for you. Are you pulling away from it? Are you beginning to pull the other way? Do you know God's will for your life? This is an important question you have to ask yourself. What does God want me to do with the new life He's given me? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to begin to ask yourself, what does God want me to do next? What am I supposed to do next? Wow, is God amazing? That He would give us a purpose, a meaning in life, to tell us that we're loved, to care for us. Wow, He's amazing. He is amazing, church. Never forget that. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This is an important thing to know, church. Know your identity in Jesus Christ. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. See, there's two huge extremes that Paul's really kind of talking about here. Either you can think you're the greatest, that you're untouchable, there is no one like you, or you can be the complete opposite, that you're not worthy of doing anything. Both views are not the view that Jesus Christ has for you. We learned about on Sunday, you're special. You're special. Why do I know that? It's because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's given you the Holy Spirit. We learned that. If you're here on Sunday, this is important to understand. Know who you are in Christ. If Christ has bought you with His blood, know that you are important, that God wants you to do what He wills for your life. He has your best interest, church. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God has given us gifts. Spiritual gifts. He's given us so many spiritual gifts. And listen to me when I tell you, God gives perfect gifts and He expects you to use them. God expects you to use the gifts that He gives you. See, we all should have a little bit of all these. All these are mentioned. All of us should know how to teach the word. All of us should be able to encourage, lead, give, all those things. But sometimes He gives those in abundance to people. Some people are just a lot better at encouraging than others. Why? Because God has given that gift to them. Use it in the body of Christ. See, we are one body, church. We work for each other. We work as one, being unified together as one body. I love that analogy. I love the way Paul uses this in many different areas in the New Testament, in his letters, as we are one body. And see, this is what was happening in the Corinthian church. Many would say, I want to be the leader. I want to have the gift of preaching. I want to have the gift of this or that. But they didn't say, I don't want mercy. I don't want to encourage. I don't want to be a giver. I don't want any of those things. Can I tell you that no gift is better than the other? We all need them. Can I tell you that he also uses this analogy? What kind of body would it look like if all of us were hands? If all of us were just feet? Praise the Lord, he's given us many different gifts. Could I tell you that we couldn't do the ministries without people who had many different gifts, many spiritual gifts? Praise God for his gifts. We are all in this together. All of us are in this together. No one is more important than the other. And listen to me when I tell you, the body suffers when one is not doing their part. It's the truth. When one is not doing their part in the body suffers because of it. This is important to understand. We must know that we are to encourage. If your gift is serving, are you serving in the church? Where are you serving at? If your gift is to encourage, where are you encouraging at? And there's obviously lists. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can read even more of those. This is important to understand if you're a believer in Christ. That I believe each and every person has at least one gift. Some people have more than one. Whatever by God's grace he gives in accordance. This is important. You have to know your gift. Do you know your gift, church? Do you know what gift God's given you? And then the other question to that, are you using that gift like God wants you to? Not when you feel like you should, but when God wants you to use your gift, are you using it? Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Listen to me, church. We must love. All right, church. We must love. We have to love. Our mission this year is to love more, love better, love more like Jesus. We're supposed to do that. And our love has to be sincere. It has to be. We don't just say that we love people. We have to love in action. We have to actually love the brokenhearted. We actually have to love those who are depressed and weary and not knowing where to go. We have to love them so they see the love that God has in you. Come on, church. Be excited for the work that God is doing here. Be excited for the work that he is doing in this church. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. I love that. I love that verse. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. I know the goodest of things. And his name is Jesus Christ. Be devoted to one another in love. Wow, we can cut each other down at times. But be devoted to one another in love. Amen. Honor one another above yourselves. Wow, did Jesus Christ do that? Wow, did he do that on the cross? Wow, did he do that, church? He honored everyone above himself, straight to the cross. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Don't be lazy. Don't forget that spiritual fire that God has lit inside you. Remember your salvation, church? Remember how excited you were? Are you still excited today of the work that God has done in your life of salvation? Amen, church. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Don't ever stop serving the Lord. Don't ever stop serving God. Don't. Don't stop serving God. But in verse 12 it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Can I tell you, hospitality is more important than we think it is? It is much more important. You don't have to have a fancy home or a lot of money. You can still be hospitable even if you're poor. You can still be hospitable even if you don't have money or things. We ought to all practice hospitality because we just don't know where people might be in their life. Open the doors. Share the gospel in your homes. Share the gospel with those who you are hospitable to. It says, be joyful. Be joyful. Be joyful for what God has done in hope, patient in affliction. Be patient when troubles in your life happen. Be patient knowing that God will always carry you through them. Will always be your biggest fan. He'll always carry you through and be faithful in prayer. Don't stop talking to God. I don't care how rough your life gets. Please, don't stop talking with God because He's the only one who can make your life better. He's the only one that can lift you up. Amen, church. Amen. He is the only one that can do it. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. The only way. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. This is what we're called to do, church. This is what we're called to do to help the needy. This is, I love this analogy we use in this church because I think it is so true. We are a spiritual hospital. We are a spiritual hospital. We help those who are coming in. You're either in two places in this church. You're on the one end trying to get help, or you're on the other helping. This is where you should be in the church. You're either helping or you're trying to get help. And I pray that my brothers and sisters in Christ are giving the most amount of help that they can. Because this world needs a lot of help. And it isn't coming from the world. It's not coming from the world. It only comes, hopefully, by believers in Christ. I hope it's coming from believers in Christ. We have to know that we are a spiritual hospital. We use another analogy in this church. We are the innkeeper. We house those who are broken at the crossroads, church, at the crossroads of their life. Should I end it all? You're supposed to be at the crossroads. You're supposed to be there. You as a believer, are you there? Are you doing your part? Are you doing the part that God wants you to do? Are you doing your part in the body of Christ? Are you helping the needy? Are you helping the brokenhearted? Are you helping those who are suffering, those that are in anguish? Are you helping those? Are you helping those who need it? And listen to me, it's going to be very difficult for you to help the lost person if you can't even find the ability to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a hard thing to hear, church, but it is true. We ought to be able to encourage one another. We ought to be able to stir each other up onto good things, good deeds, the love of Christ. We ought to be able to do that. That's why we're supposed to be here every single week, to stir one another up onto love and good deeds. That's what the Word of God says. I hope that we're doing that in the house today. We must love. I'll say it again. We must love, church. We must love. People's lives are at stake. People are running to hell every day at the crossroads, church. At the crossroads. Are you going to be there? Are you going to stand in the gap for those who are running to hell? Are you going to preach the gospel, the good things? Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good, church. Be joyful in the salvation. Be joyful what God is doing in your life. Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless. And do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. This is important, church. We ought to be completely different from the world. The world says, eye for an eye, evil for evil. But he says, do not repay anyone of evil in verse 17. He says, don't do evil, but do good. Do good, church. This is important. We ought to be completely different. We ought to care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. I love this verse here. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We ought to be there for each other in the good times, in the hard times. I thank you for my church family who's mourned with me and rejoiced with me. I thank you, but I hope that we can continue to do that every single day, church. We all need it, church. We all need our brothers and sisters to encourage and to mourn with each other. We have to be there for each other. God did not create us to be by ourselves. He didn't create you to go worship alone in the wilderness. He created you to be with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, together, church, as one body. Not just a hand by yourself. You're called to be one body, together. It says many. Many. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, church, that so many people with so many different opinions can come to one accord, the accord of Jesus Christ. One thing in Jesus Christ. I praise God I can worship with my brothers who don't even speak English. Isn't that amazing to be able to do that? To worship those who don't even speak your language, who look completely different from you, but they understand one thing that you understand, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, church. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ought to be humble. This is what a lot of this is all about. Humility, church. You are no greater than anyone else. The only thing you got better than some people is Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We're all messed up at times. But praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, that He has bought us with His blood, that He has given us a place in heaven. We sang it this evening. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Are you going to be able to fly away? Are you going to be able to go to heaven? Only can get there through Jesus Christ, church. You can only get there through Jesus Christ. We ought to be humble. I want to read a passage. I love this in Philippians. It's amazing. It shows us who God is, who Jesus Christ is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Follow Jesus Christ, church. Follow his example. Be a humble servant. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ even washed his own disciples' feet? His own disciples' feet. There is no greater example in life than Jesus Christ, the way that he lived and taught us. There's no greater example in life to serve those out in the world. He had every reason. He was God. To say, I'm done. I'm not going to the cross. These people aren't worth it. But he humbled himself and was obedient to the Father all the way to death on a cross. All the way to death on a cross for you and I and the whole world. And all that you have to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is all you have to do, church. He's made it simple for us. But wow, was it a price that he paid? What a price that he paid. And I'll always remind you in this pulpit, because it is the greatest thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he lived a sinless life. A sinless life. A life that we could never live. Even at our best chances, we could never do it. But he did it. And then he says, I love you so much, I'm going to the cross for you. And he dies. But then he is raised 3 days later. And he promises you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the same resurrection. The same resurrection. Resurrection in Jesus Christ can't be found any other way, church. We ought to be humble in this house today. We ought to know that God is here and we are here. We ought to know who is in charge in this church. It is God. Don't be proud. Don't be proud, church. Be humble. Be humble, but be willing to associate with people who are broken. Of low position, don't you consider yourself higher because you make more money. Or don't you consider yourself higher because you have a higher education than somebody else. There is no one greater than the Lord. There is no one greater than the Lord. We ought to be completely different from the world. We ought to look. We ought to be set apart. Set apart. He says, be holy for I am holy. These are all things God calls us to do as believers in Jesus Christ. And listen to me when I tell you, church, you can't do it without Jesus Christ. You couldn't even come close to any of these things without Jesus Christ. Without the work that he continues to do in your life. He's pulling you. He's trying to make you better, church. He's trying to make you more like himself every single day. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. But run into his arms. Run into his arms. Verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. This is an important thing to always remember, church. This is really important. Punishment and judgment are not ours, they're the Lord's. Punishment and judgment are the Lord's. They are not ours. We do not take revenge. In fact, Jesus tells us to be the complete opposite. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Wow. How am I supposed to do that? If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Can I tell you that even when you are being persecuted, you are supposed to do what is good? Even when it doesn't make any sense. And here this little passage says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Well, what does that mean? That means they take notice of your goodness. They take notice of your goodness because it doesn't make sense. This is why I said we ought not to be like the world. It doesn't make sense if I were to hurt somebody that you would retaliate with goodness. I wouldn't even know what to do. Does God not do the same thing for us, church? God continues to be merciful even when I'm not. God continues to be faithful even when I'm not. He continues to do these things. Well, why? Why would he do that? Because he loves us. And he wants us to live better. He wants us to live like Jesus Christ. Punishment is not ours, it's the Lord's. Don't think you have to take revenge. Know that the Lord will take care of it. It says, be careful to do what is right in everyone's eyes. That's very difficult to do, a very much more difficult thing to do. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is what you're called to strive to do every single day, church. Live at peace. It is hard sometimes. Sometimes it's impossible, but strive for it every single day. Practice it. Practice it. Practice peace in your life. You have to have it. You have to have the peace. Practice it. And I love this passage, this last verse here. I want you to pay attention. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'll say it like this. Do not be overcome by darkness, but overcome darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. And he's made you the light of the world. Amen, church. Are you being that light? Are you being the light of the world? Are you doing what Jesus wants you to do? Are you doing your part? Are you overcoming the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ? Wow, is this world dark at times? Wow, do we need the light of Jesus Christ more and more every single day? And listen to me when I tell you this is so important. A believer often fits into these three categories. I want you to pay attention. Number one, you know where God has called you, praise him. If you know where God has called you and you're serving in it, hopefully, wholeheartedly, humbly, praise him. So a lot of times we like to give thanks for the work. Make a whole lot of sense, but sometimes we like to praise him for the work, even when it gets hard. Because what an amazing ability to show the goodness of God. What an amazing opportunity it is to show the love of God, the patience of God, all those things. It's an amazing opportunity to do those things. Don't take it for granted. You got a small amount of time on this earth to be the light of the world. You got a small amount of time to penetrate darkness in this world. Don't take advantage of the time God gives us every day, because you don't know how long you have. You don't know when your day is done. Be the light. Be the light. Overcome evil with good. With good, church. And number two, you are seeking the calling God has for you. I know there's probably many of you today in that spot. There are many of you probably today in that spot right now. What does God want me to do? The Bible says, keep knocking, keep searching, and the door will be open for you. Can I tell you that God does have a purpose for you? Keep searching for it. Keep praying to God. This is why it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. knowing that God is good, God will be there for you. But God has called you to something. He's not left you. He's not called everybody else but you. He's called you too. He's given you purpose too. We all have purpose. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we all have purpose. In verse 3, I want you guys to listen to me closely. You are actively running from the calling God has on your life. I have been there, church. I will testify to it. You are actively running from the calling that God has on your life. There is no peace in it. There is no joy in it. There's only restlessness. When you continue to run from God, there's only restlessness. There's never peace. There's never joy. Only restlessness. Are you in that spot today, church? You know what God wants you to do, but you're saying, no way. Maybe you're supposed to be teaching in this church, but you're saying, no way, God. Maybe you're supposed to encourage someone at work, but you don't really like them. And you're saying, no way, God. Maybe you're supposed to do some sort of service in this church, but you're saying, no way, God. Can I tell you that those who do the sound in this church are just as important of those who preach in this pulpit? Those who encourage one another are just as important as those who are in leadership in this church. And all the above, giving, mercy, all those things, you're just as important in this church. But are you serving? God calls us to serve. He doesn't call us to be lazy. His word says, if you don't work, you don't eat. How true is that? It is true. God calls us to serve wholeheartedly with everything. I'll say it again, to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's your true proper worship. The best thing that you could ever do for God is to offer your life to Him for what He's done for you. And if you think that's difficult, if you think that's hard, if you think it's hard to offer your life, think about how hard it was for Jesus Christ when He bled and died on the cross for you. It might be just a little bit easier to serve in the church. It might be. I know that's hard, church. But that's the things I try to remind myself every day. Wow, the world gets tough, but wow, the awesomeness of God that He's given me salvation. Why would I want to take that for granted? I know we can do it at times, but are you quick to repent? Are you quick to get back on board with what God has for you in your life? See, all of us have a part as a Christian in the world. Again, I'll say, you're supposed to be the light. You're supposed to be the light. But each and every one of you, if you're a member of this church, you've been coming for a while, you have a part here in New Life. And I can't answer that for you. You have to ask God. You have to ask God, where do you want me to serve at New Life? Where do you want me to serve in the ministries? That's why I'm thankful for this church. Not to boast on this church, but I'm thankful that God has given me many, many opportunities to serve here. There are many, many opportunities for you to serve anywhere you want, to use the gifts that God's given you just about anywhere in this church. And trust me, we're not going to tell you no. There's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work. Praise Him for the work. Praise Him for the work. Praise Him for the opportunities He gives you to share the gospel with a dying world. Don't take advantage of your opportunities. I'll share a story with you just really quick before I close out. We did this fusion thing. I've shared it before. There's some new people here. We did this fusion activity. It was like a scavenger hunt. We went up to the mall and we did silly things like we sang happy birthday to somebody, you know, when it wasn't their birthday, or you take a picture by a mannequin, all those silly things. But then there was one thing on the list that was worth the most points. Share the gospel with somebody. share the gospel with somebody. So it's getting close to the end of our time, and we prayed, God, if you want us to share the gospel, send somebody. And trust me when I tell you, church, when you say something like that, God tends to come through. A lady came and asked, hey, what are you guys doing? And she was nice, talking, conversating, out of nowhere. I felt the calling of the Holy Spirit. This is your opportunity. This is your chance. It's right here. You prayed for it. But I walked away. I walked away. But I was so convicted that I had to go back up there. I had to see if I could find that lady again. I never found her. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You missed your opportunity. Sometimes God gives us second chances and praise Him for it. But it's best to do it when God calls you to do it. It is always best when God calls you to do whatever it is, to do it the first time. And I think Jonah would probably say the same thing if he was standing here today. I'm sure he would. Are you doing your part in the body of Christ? Are you doing what God wants? Are you serving God with all your heart? Are you doing your part as a child of God? Let's stand. I hope this message has been an encouragement to you. I hope it's been a challenge to you. It's been a challenge for me. But I know God does things that aren't even related to this message. Sometimes he's talking about something completely different to you. The altar's open. You can pray, you can do whatever. Whatever you feel like you have to do, that's between you and God. Altar's open.